Once a month, we visit with our partners at the Southern Oregon University Laboratory of Anthropology for a segment we call Underground History. Chelsea Rose and Mark Tveskov of SULA bring in people and stories about archaeology and the intricate and fascinating process of literally unearthing the past. This month, we focus on Oregon's capital city. Salem is getting a new police station. The groundbreaking was earlier this month, but there was groundbreaking before the groundbreaking, with archaeologists digging to see what used to be at the police station site. Chelsea and Mark back in the studio. Chelsea, good to see you.
Hi, good to be here.
Mark, glad to have you.
Good morning.
And we also have Kimberly Fitzgerald with us, who's a staff archaeologist for the city of Salem and obviously right in the middle of this project. Kimberly, thank you for joining us.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
So give us a little backstory on what was at the site where the Salem Police Station is going in.
Well, it's been a lot of different things over the years. One of the most exciting discoveries we found was that there used to be a Native American village on this site. And we weren't expecting that. We had done some initial research, and so we knew to expect historic artifacts because we knew there was a settlement there beginning with Jason Lee. He had reestablished his mission just on the north side of the creek there, and so there was some early development, early European settlers there. And when we were out doing our excavation as part of the work we were doing for archaeological compliance, we found some pre-contact artifacts, and we were really excited.
Well, I was going to ask you about water. You already mentioned creek, so I mean, usually there's a body of water nearby. There's going to be people not far away. Is that
of usually course.
A good rule
yeah.
of thumb?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, you know, usually a nice place to live now has always been a nice place to live. So, yeah, we have the Willamette River, and in this particular case, this site is set back a bit from the Willamette River, but there is a Mill Creek to the north of the site. So while we had it identified as a high probability archaeological site with a high probability of finding things, we didn't know that there would be pre-contact artifacts there.
There was lots of post-contact stuff too, though, right, above it?
Yeah, well, we recovered over 17,000 artifacts from the site out of 16 units, four blocks that we had set up. And it was pretty exciting. We found things that you would expect to find from a late 19th century residential area, a lot of ceramics, bottles, that sort of thing. I was very intrigued by the historic utility system. Uh-huh. So some terracotta piping, that sort of thing was still there. We found a privy on the last day, which isn't that a normal thing that archaeologists do, the best thing on the last day. And we found a round brick well. I thought that was really exciting. It was pretty cool. We also got to use some new technology. We flew a drone at the end of every day of excavation, and we also had some 3D scanning that we did of some of our features. So we're going to have an exhibit here at the end of middle end of December where we're going to share some of the artifacts and some of the modeling that we've done.
Let's talk about this issue of archaeological compliance that you brought up, and Chelsea and Mark can chime in on this as well. I mean, basically, is it when any public site is opened up, you have to go through the process of getting an archaeologist out there to dig through, Mark?
Well, it depends on the project. In the state of Oregon, all archaeological sites are protected by law. So if you know there's an archaeological site there, it needs to be mitigated if you're going to do something like build a new building. So I don't know the particular circumstances here, but I imagine that there was either a recorded site or they had reason to believe there was a recorded site, so they did this project. On the other hand, if you're on the federal level, if you're doing a project that has federal money, the federal law requires you to take into account your actions on archaeological sites and other cultural resources.
And I think this project is a great example of why those laws exist. So you have one block here where they're putting in a new building, arguably a very important, needed structure for the city. But before you do that, you have an opportunity to look at this community over time, over hundreds of years, spanning different populations, different technologies, different ways that people lived there and continued to adapt to the world around them to make a living in Salem, Oregon, up until the present day. So that's such a great body of data that can, you know, tell us about the past and the places we live. And so that's really what kind of promotes these laws. So it's really great when you have a very successful project like this because everybody wins in the end.
It's interesting to think in terms of all the times that people bury time capsules over the years. Mm-hmm. They put in a newspaper or a book or any kind of things that indicate stuff from their period. But in essence, they're creating time capsules all the time.
Whether mm-hmm. you know it or not, yeah.
And this site sounds like a really intense time capsule if it's got an indigenous settlement underneath it, the site of one of the earliest American settlements in Oregon going up right through the 19th and 20th century. So, Kimberly, I was curious in your discussion of the site itself, did you find any remains of that original mission site of Jason Lee?
We were looking for evidence of that. What we did find were several modified ceramics that had been modified clearly by Native Americans into points. That was extremely exciting. So that was a really rare find. We didn't expect to find that. We didn't find any evidence of specific buildings. We didn't really expect to. They were on the north side. But the artifacts themselves, we're still going through all of them, but we have found some clear evidence of that very narrow period of time when the early mission was established and they were working with the Native Americans there.
So you're talking about the mid-1830s to the mid-1840s,
yeah.
That era. Could you explain those modified ceramics a little bit more? That's a really fascinating kind of find.
Yeah. This is the first time I've ever come across any of these things. So the Native Americans typically would utilize obsidian to create the tools like arrowheads or those sorts of things that they would use to hunt or cut things. And in this particular case, we found ceramics, which we were able to date to that period you just mentioned, the mid-1800s, that they had modified into those shapes for their tools. So we're going to display those, as I mentioned, at the Willamette Heritage Center. I also wanted to mention, if I could, that this was a public archaeology project, which is a rare thing, at least for Salem. Mm-hmm. We had a public archaeology day where we invited the public to come and see what we were doing and share some of these artifacts that I'm very excited about, and we had over 100 people come and be able to see the archaeologists actually at work and also get a chance to see some of these things in person.
So, okay, so it was a viewing, not a community work party.
I mean, no, they didn't. No. Yeah, I should make that clear. They didn't, although many of them wanted to, and we did actually have many volunteers on the site working through. We had volunteers from Willamette University, Western, OSU. We also had volunteers from the Oregon Archaeological Society because we had a lot of data recovery to do in a very, very short period of time. So the students that we used, many had already been through field school, so they had some training. But the public that I was speaking about, they were able to come and view and not actually get their hands dirty, although they would have loved to.
This is Underground History on the Jefferson Exchange. Kimberly Fitzgerald is the archaeologist for the city of Salem, where there is a new police station going in, and so she managed the excavation of the site prior to the building. Our regulars, Chelsea Rose and Mark Tveskov, are back from the Southern Oregon University Laboratory of Anthropology, and you can join the conversation on the Exchange by phone, 800-838-3760, our email address, jx@jeffnet.org.
I think what Kimberly's been doing in Salem is so excellent to bring in the public like this, because a lot of times these projects are funded with public dollars. They can have a time delay on you know, whatever the construction ultimately is. So it's really important that where possible, there can be some transparency so people can see what's happening and why it's important and get excited and get behind it. And also now we have more and more opportunities to provide access to the public with a lot of these things that in the past would have been kind of perceived by outsiders as secret. Not necessarily that was the goal of archaeologists, but there wasn't a lot of room for kind of letting people see peek over your shoulder while you're working. So I really think that's such an excellent thing they've been doing there to provide this opportunity for people to see this incredible site.
When I think about the stuff that we're finding in archaeological digs, though, and differences in behavior between then and now, I wonder if the people living on the Earth today are going to leave less of an archaeological record because we don't throw stuff out the back door like we used, and we don't have our own personal trash piles and bury stuff in the backyard as much as we used. I mean, are landfills going to be the places that archaeologists work in 50 to 100 years?
Well, they still kind of are. I mean, Mark's done a lot of work on the coast with shell middens, which is essentially that kind of a thing, a big public disposal place, but people still leave things all the time. Most of the things that we work with archaeologically aren't things that were necessarily intentionally thrown out. They're other kind of imprints on the world around us.
Yeah.
You could say that we're entering a bit of a dark ages again, where most of our writing is going digital. So if that doesn't survive, that'll be a challenge.
Well, if the electronics don't work anymore, stuff is gone.
I think it's the amount of material culture that we deposit in the ground is increasing, and it doesn't go away. It's all it's plastic. When we dig holes, and we dig holes all over the place, I mean, you could see the 20th century in plastic and bottle caps and everything everywhere we go.
So Kimberly, let me ask you about, first of all, I'm impressed that there's a staff archaeologist in the city of Salem. But, apparently not many of you around there.
Yeah, I'm very, very excited. I have a very supportive boss and a very supportive city council. So this has been a very conscious decision. We have something called a historic preservation plan that's adopted as part of our comprehensive plan, and archaeology was identified as a priority by the mayor and the city council. And another thing that I'm very excited about that the council is working on, and hopefully we'll be able to get it accomplished by January, is that they're working on developing a memorandum of understanding with the tribes that have an interest in Salem. So the first tribe that we've been working closely with is the Confederated Tribes of the Grand Ronde. And so the goal is to have a joint meeting of our two councils and a commitment to work together on things that we both care about.
And were they present at some point for the dig at the police station?
Oh, yes. They've had representatives out there. They were even pitching in and volunteering when we were excavating and doing data recovery. And they've been very, very involved from the beginning when we knew we had something that was interesting there.
Were there some of the artifacts that got conveyed to the tribes?
We're still working on that. Yes, we have to finish, of course, our report and our catalog and the pre-contact items. Yes, they have allowed us to share them at the exhibit at the Willamette Heritage Center, which is, as I mentioned, later on in December. And then after that, we'll discuss. They actually would really like to have some presence at the new police facility. We're going to set aside some space in the lobby of that facility to exhibit some artifacts. So we're in the process of discussing what those might be.
I want to come back to the privy story. You knew I would. So this was this is the last day of the dig you mentioned that you hit. What, I mean, different handling. I mean, you know, waste is waste. I mean, you know. What do you do when you hit something like a privy in a dig?
Oh, well, we
cheer.
We were very excited. So as I mentioned, we had 16 units. This data recovery, it was determined that we would get as much as we could out of the site before it was redeveloped. And so without getting too into the weeds about the permit requirements, we were required to excavate until we had two sterile levels. And so this particular, this was our last unit, which we hadn't reached sterile yet. And so we hit that privy. We had to extend, of course, a few days to get everything out of there that we could. And it was probably the most productive, well, with the exception of the units where we got the pre-contact artifacts. It was the most productive historic unit, and we got a lot of intact bottles, which was exciting. We got a lot of bone, so not human, of course, cow and primarily. And the police were actually pretty excited. So the officers started coming by and really getting excited about what we were doing. And so this was the beginning of October when we found the privy. And so they invited us to, they have a dress rehearsal for Halloween. So they invited us to come, and we had a table where we just shared the bones that we found. So they loved that.
And one of the reasons why archaeologists get so excited about privies, it is an outhouse. Most of the material we're dealing with on these old sites is very well composted. There's not a safety issue. Sometimes we take soil samples and look for evidence of past diseases, like, you know, different worms or parasites and stuff, that to get ideas at the health. But mostly we're excited because these are kind of like enclosed spaces where people threw garbage before garbage service, especially when there was a transition from using outdoor outhouses to indoor plumbing, when a lot of people took advantage of this big hole to just throw junk out. So you get a lot of complete artifacts, you get a lot of preservation because of these unique anaerobic environments. So you can find clothing and different fabrics and shoes and sometimes even hair, you know, stuff like that. And of course, bones. So they're a really data rich part of the site. And even when they were in use, a lot of times people would use broken dishes and stuff to help aerate them to facilitate composting of the material.
Okay.
So there's a lot of ways. Yeah, there's a lot of ways that artifacts make their way in it. They're pretty discreet. If you can tie it with the house, you get a lot of really good data. So that's why we get excited. Not that we're necessarily thrilled to go through somebody's night soil 100 and something years later.
Yeah, I appreciate the clarification there, Chelsea. So you didn't dig up the whole site. You just did test plots in it. Is that right, Kimberly?
That's correct. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. So there's a lot of stuff still there. I mean, I guess here I am thinking down the road again that 80 or 100 years from now, when Salem decides it needs a new police station and tears this one down, you could go through the same process again. Not you personally.
But. You should have put a time capsule in one of those holes when you backfilled it.
We still have time. We could, yeah. I know. Yeah, and you bring up an interesting point. So they are redeveloping right now, and one of the things that I was able to do, and again, in collaboration with the State Historic Preservation Office and the tribes, we did an education training with all the contractors. We have what's called an inadvertent discovery plan. We also have certain areas of the site that I'm going to be out there monitoring when they're doing excavation, and that's in the event that anything significant is uncovered during the actual development. So that's something that's pretty commonly done on sites throughout Oregon in certain areas where there's development. Last week we found... It was a cluster of bottles, historic bottles. So that's the kind of thing that the contractors, they actually have, because of the training, have developed their own eye, and they will stop the work, and then I can come out and document what's there, and then they get to move along in their construction.
Kimberly, I found it amusing, though, that they had a groundbreaking on November 9th when you'd been breaking the ground for several months before that.
Yes. I know, isn't that funny? Yeah, that was very ceremonial. And again, the tribes were there and they did a special blessing. So it was a good opportunity to involve the public and then officially start the development of the site.
All right. That is going to be a new police station for the city of Salem, Oregon's capital city, of course, where Kimberly Fitzgerald is the archaeologist for the city. She's been all over this project for a long time now. Kimberly, thank you for joining us on today's Underground History.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Our regulars, Mark Tveskov and Chelsea Rose, are here from the Southern Oregon University Laboratory of Anthropology. And now that you mentioned digging lots of holes, next time I'm going to ask you what your favorite shovel is. But that'll have to wait for a future edition of Underground History. Good to have you back in the studio once again.
It's great to be here.